Hello, welcome to the Twin Perspectives podcast series, run by travel bloggers Twins That Travel. That's us,
Claire
and Laura.
Tune in for regular discussions about our latest travels, interviews and life more generally.
Happy listening.
Bye. Welcome to episode 6, season 3 of the Twin Perspectives podcast series. And this week, I'm all on my own. It's just Claire by herself because Laura has headed to Seattle for a 2-week road trip without me. So I sent a message to one of my friends, Fee Grayson. Do you want to say hi?
Hi.
It's really weird having you opposite me and not Laura. Who's usually just like,
when you said twins perspectives, I was like, I'm not a twin.
But kind of like it.
Yeah.
Fee Grayson, who lives just down the road from me, but is someone that I have known since 2016?
Yeah.
Maybe 2016. Yeah. Well, I think we went into self-employment at a very similar time, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think we had... So you'd obviously know my big sister.
Yeah.
But then I think we met... properly met end of 2017.
Yeah, that's right. So I went self-employed January 2017, and you went self-employed in August 2017. So the reason I've got Fee on the podcast today is that, in August 2017, Fee, I'll let her tell her own story, but she decided to launch her own amazing business called She Can, She Did.
Is this right, Stephanie?
No.
Okay, good.
And I'll give you some sort of sign. And since then she's gone on to create as a one-man band, a most incredible business, which is, well, I'll let her talk about it more, but I found it, her Instagram account, incredibly inspiring, but it's championing women who are running their own businesses around the UK, or is it globally?
It's
just around the UK.
Yeah. And for now, give me time, Claire.
And
One day.
Is this a global business? And I wanted to get her on today because this week we've been talking a lot about, or celebrating, not in a visual way, failures and ahead of World Mental Health Day, which is tomorrow, Thursday the 10th of October. I wanted to get her on to talk about the realities of being self-employed and running your own business. And it's something that Laura and I have spoken about a bit before, but I really wanted to get Fee on because in my mind, I at least have Laura, but Fee is doing this off her own back every single day. And I think it's amazing. So I thought I'd get her on to have a chat about being self-employed, how to handle failures of running a small business, and obviously celebrating the successes. So, hi.
Hello.
Sorry, that was the longest ramble.
I love a good ramble.
I know, yes. Sorry. So I've kind of introduced She Can, She Did a little bit, but I thought, could you give a bit more of a background, a much more interesting context to what I've attempted to say?
Well, it was like, I remember just getting to a point in my old job where...
See, what were you doing before?
I used to produce big finance conferences for a publishing house
around
the world. So it was one of those jobs on paper, looked amazing. So, I got that straight out of uni... And it was
that's
one of
amazing
those,
that you got that straight out of uni.
Yeah, it was like it was one of those jobs that, like, day two, I remember my old boss said, Fee, we want to launch a cybersecurity conference in New York. Like, can you just start researching it? Go for it.
Oh my God.
And it was like such a full on job and so amazing. But ultimately, 3.5 years down the road, I wasn't passionate about the finance aspect. Mm-hmm. So even though there were so many perks, like the travel and the pay and just general corporate benefits.
Mm-hmm. So you travelled a lot then, did you?
Yeah. So primarily North America, South Africa, across Europe and obviously London as well.
Wow.
So it was like, it was amazing in so many aspects, but equally the day-to-day reality of that job was, a really early commute, a job where the kind of primary... role for 70% of it was researching the finance markets, which just wasn't
sounds thrilling.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And just with that, the kind of people, and it just wasn't
for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wasn't passionate about it, and I was kind of getting promoted a few times in that 3 years where it was becoming harder and harder, even at just 24 going on 25.
Yeah,
I was starting to see the way my mind works, see myself being 30. Stuck in a job because of the pay being so good,
yeah,
that I couldn't walk away from.
Yeah, which so many people, they can't walk away from that massive paycheck.
That's it. And I just realised that there were so many women. I'd always known I'd wanted to launch my own business one day, and I'd started to notice that there were young women my age on platforms like Instagram. Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware of how many back then, but I definitely knew that there were a few. And it was just a case of, God, I really admire them. Yeah. But how the hell have they done that? And my parents both walked away from their corporate careers when I was about 10, 11. So I had always grown up in a household in my teenage years where you really see the highs and lows that go into a business. Yeah. It's not just a glossy stuff.
Yeah, I've spoken about this a lot with your sister, Carrie.
Yeah, that's it. And it's just kind of, I was seeing these women on platforms like Instagram, but it all looked too glossy. And I was like, no, it's not that easy. And if I'm going to launch my own business, I know it's not going to be like that, but equally I don't have a clue how they've got to that
point. How do you even begin?
Yeah, exactly. So it just became a case of, I remember an email coming through. I was out in Boston, day after the conference, woke up, checked my emails, an email came through from the London office, and I was like, I'm so done. In fact, I sent a screenshot and sent it to my sister, and I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And she was like, do you know what, Fee, you've been saying this for a while, just quit. I know you'll figure it out.
I remember this,
And it was just a case of, right, okay, let's just go for it then.
And so did you have the business model in mind already?
Not at all.
No, you didn't?
Not in the slightest. Like, I've never been a planner like that.
That's why I like you, because you're like me. Like, I quit.
Yeah, no, that's it. And that's the thing. I had, it's even so silly, like in hindsight, I had 3 month notice and I didn't do anything with that either.
I was going to say, did you have
completely in denial. Like, I just knew that I needed to get out of that job. For those 3 months, I was kind of blissfully like talking about the fact that I was going to launch something to do with self-employed women. I kind of came up with a name in that time. But then I remember ending my contract, like I left that job at the end of July 2017, had my birthday week off at the beginning of August, because I always used to take that off in my old job.
And then, I like how you do that. I have to take my birthday week off.
They're going to pay me to take my birthday off. And then August the 7th I started, and I remember literally just opening my laptop and being like, ooh, so I have this business called She Did.
I didn't know it was that haphazard.
It really was. And then that first week I designed like a really crappy logo, made my website, started reaching out to women that I'd found in like different articles, and just basically said, like, you know, I'd love to meet you and interview and share your story, but the whole premise of She Did is to share the actual realities going on behind the scenes, and prove that, you know, that what you're doing is incredible, but that you've worked really ridiculously hard to get there.
Showing the nitty-gritty behind it all, rather than so what I was talking about yesterday is that like I was did a little blog post on our failures for this year, and we launched our tours this year, and from everything that you see on social media, in my head I thought those tours need to sell out within 5 minutes, otherwise they're a complete failure and no one's going to book onto them past that first 5 minutes. If they don't sell out in 5 minutes, then no one's going to book onto them.
Massively.
And I was thinking, why did I think that? And it's because you see these people online who are, you know, they put something out, an event, and within 2 seconds all the tickets are gone. And although that is a reality for some, for 99% of people, that's not the reality in any way.
Definitely. I couldn't agree with that more. It's like the kind of, it's like you hear so many stories about, you know, Beyonce's tickets go in 5 seconds, and you're kind of thinking like, but Fee, you're not Beyonce.
No, I need to, like, I am just running a tiny tour.
Tiny little business. Like, it's just, and the fact that you're able to, like, you got that your tickets went, didn't they?
Yeah, we sent
them. And it's kind of like, that's so impressive that you've created that, something that those people are willing to put their trust in.
But it still makes you question. I was saying, 100%. Laura and I were scared to continue promoting the tours past the first day, because in my head people were going to judge us for not having sold out, and it was embarrassing to say, oh, there's still tour places available. Yeah. But why? Yeah. Like, why would we be embarrassed? And I wouldn't be, if I saw someone doing that, I wouldn't think anything different of them.
Yeah, I think that marketing head is like, that's one of the hardest roles for me. I hate that sales pitch thing.
Putting yourself out there.
Like sales, I think it's just, it's not nice at all. But it's just a reality. And like, I think, sometimes you just have to kind of put your pride on the line and just suck it up and go for it.
I think that's what you realise. You're running a business. It doesn't matter what people think. You just need
and
to
also,
keep pushing it.
It doesn't matter what people think. they don't think.
I know.
They don't care.
I know.
Like, and it's just that, also that reality.
But again, isn't it? It's like the whole premise of She Can, She Do. It's this whole glossy world where we forget that, yeah, people are probably crying, you know, 90% of the time behind their laptops.
Oh my God,
and you only see the best bits of the business
hugely.
Because that's marketing and that's what, you know, entertains people. But I do think, well, both like She Can, She Did, that things are changing now and people are being more honest about their experiences of running a business as a woman.
Yeah, I definitely think there's been a shift even in the past, like, year of how willing people are to, like, I think everyone's just so fed up of that.
Do you find that you're following less people online now who are just doing the same old, this is amazing, look at this?
I think, like, one of the most powerful things that someone told me about, like, online world is that you should treat, you know, Instagram like one of your favourite magazines, and it's just you curate that. Like, if it's not making you happy, I know it's so like trite to keep saying it because we hear that advice
and
so
then we
often
still
and we still do it.
Yeah.
But it's so true. Like, I look at my She Can, She Did feed and I'm constantly inspired because it is just really amazing businesses that are...
Like, pick you up, I guess.
And it's just, like, that constant reminder that, okay, they're working hard, I can keep working hard.
She's had a bad day.
Yeah.
It's okay for me to have a bad
day.
So...
She's proud of her accomplishments. It's okay for me to share mine. You know, it's just that kind of, we're all in this together.
Exactly. So I think you do have to be quite careful who you follow. There's definitely people that we've unfollowed who, they're having amazing success and I'm happy for them. But right now, when you're going through something that feels a little bit harder, I can't see their stuff at the moment.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm not happy for them. It just doesn't, it means I need to see more of the reality.
Just follow those, can't you?
Yeah, just meet them for now. So August 2017 is when you launched.
Yes.
So we're just over 2 years on,
and
you have, well, tell us what you, how the business has grown, how it's evolved.
So it basically, because I didn't do enough homework, I didn't earn anything for about 10 months. So the first 10 months of She Can, She Did was literally me driving around the country, putting my old crappy little iPhone on the middle of the table and just interviewing. I'd then type those up.
Yeah.
Share them.
Are you still doing typed up interviews?
No.
So you were just doing podcasts.
Yeah, it just took so long. But it was all like that kind of laying the groundwork. And then, which sounds really strategic, I just always knew, people kind of said to me, yeah, but Fee, where do you see this going?
Yeah.
Like, you're just interviewing people. And for me, it was kind of like knowing that, yes, I'm just interviewing people. Yes, I am taking that hit financially right now. But ultimately, if you kind of gain...
A house, isn't it?
Yeah.
You were laying
foundation.
You needed something.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And it just meant that when I brought my events background into it, I always knew that I wanted to bring that kind of face-to-face interaction back I used to love the kind of the big conferences I used to do, but ultimately with the midweek mingles, so they're the event series I have now, it was a case of I knew how daunting it used to be as me, 21-year-old girl walking into a room of 300 men in suits.
Yeah,
that's bad networking.
Yeah.
That's not fun networking. And I knew that one of the facts holding so many young women back from launching a business is a lack of a network and a lack of unintimidating networking opportunities. So I wanted to bring those events in but make them as down to earth as possible, hence the midweek mingles. And that they came in, I launched those in London in April 2017. And that then, I did a few of those in London. Then I got the sponsor. That meant that I could take them around.
Tell us about Midweek Mingles. Because in my mind, that's just been, like, whenever I look at it, and I'm so gutted that you did one in Milton Keynes and I was in Turkey.
Yeah.
I would have come. But so tell us about what Midweek Mingles are, in case there's ladies in the UK who'd like to come.
So, like, the Midweek Mingles are basically, you hear it all the time, like, down-to-earth networking events, but I can't explain it. They really are. Like, the fact that they're called a Bloomin' Mingle, like, I go and speak to sponsors and I'm like, well, you sponsor the mingles, isn't it?
Come and have a
like,
mingle.
Sorry, what?
Mingling around.
But they're basically like evening events. I always partner with good gin brand because I'm a like a proper hardcore G&T girl. Just the minute you arrive, it's just I can't explain it. They attract
Does it
such
feel like
really great
group of friends.
100%. And like I get messages before each mingles being like, Fee, I'm really nervous, but there's something about this that makes me want to come. And it's like, I always say to those girls, like, I get these messages all the time. I promise you, the minute you walk through that door, we'll be chatting.
And it's not just mingling, is it? You have speakers.
Yeah, definitely. I have, like, a panel of amazing female founders I admire, all at different ages and stages in their business journeys. So we basically do a kind of live version of, like, the interviews and the podcast, just have a proper natter about their stories, they open up to the audience, but we primarily focus on their challenges as a business owner and how they've overcome them. So it's not
all... I need to get to one of these.
Yeah, no, they're just such I walk away from each one, like I've done 16 now, and I just feel like you walk away and I'm just on cloud nine, because it's just that reminder that even like the day of the midweek mingle setting up, I'm stressed.
Yeah.
And then you get to it and you hear these women opening up about what they've gone through, and you're like, this is why we do it. It's so amazing.
And the mingles are what started to help you make money out of the business,
yeah,
isn't it?
Definitely.
So you have ticket sales.
Yeah, the tickets. I mean, they basically cover the event costs, but then from the minute I got the sponsor on board. But that's the only thing that I'm earning right now. So
yeah.
I always like, people think it goes back to that Instagram reality. They think, oh, she's doing so well.
Yeah, it's been 2 years and
she's
fine
so
now.
Well.
She'll be buying a five-bed house soon.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, that's absolute bollocks. Like, compared to what I used to earn, it's nothing. Like, all my money goes back into the business, but it's just worth it.
Because it's what you love.
Yeah.
And so you're happy to live on less because you're not waking up every day with a dread. Well, sometimes you do wake up.
Your dread. We'll get on to that. It's a failure podcast. But yeah, no, and then I partner with loads of different brands I love, like beauty brands and foodie brands in part, and like I'm really proud of those goodie bags. It sounds so, again, it's so like silly why she's talking about goodie bags, but like I was really adamant that because I didn't earn anything for as long as I did, I took that hit, my whole lifestyle changed. So I immediately pulled back on all the little treats I used to buy myself and not think twice about buying for myself when I had a normal job. And then it's like you actually pull back on those things at a time when you actually really need those little treats to keep you going. So those goodie bag brands, it's everyone from like Nux or Lumen or Saint Tropez, Burt's Bees. They are sending all of these amazing products.
It'll get lift me ups.
Yeah, exactly. Because the women that come to them, be it you're a business owner yourself or you want to one day, they, in my opinion, deserve
little treats.
To
because you do cut them out, don't you? It's so funny how you go from... you're in Euston train station and you'll pop into the body shop and you'll buy a couple of things.
Yeah.
And now you're going to look at them and think, nope.
Yeah. And I think that was the hardest part about... it's still hard to this day, but like that first year, 18 months of She Can, She Did, up mentally, walking away from my old salary and what that meant for my whole lifestyle.
Yeah.
And my confidence. It sounds so silly to like link that to what you're earning.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah, but it's just everything changed. Like, it was
I think you've been like that, you've held it together the better than I have. In just, they say, isn't it, it's perseverance and grit actually are basically the main formula for success.
Yeah.
And you've got that so much, you can literally not panic. You don't seem to panic.
Yeah.
But you seem to be able to just keep in mind the end goal and carry on without a panic of, I need to look for a job today, everything is a disaster.
Do you know what though? I remember reading an article, I think I must have been about 17 or 18, and it was, I think, when Simon Cowell was like properly rocketing.
Oh,
like,
Simon Cowell.
Good old Simon.
Simon was rocketing.
In fact, I must have been a bit younger. But he was being interviewed and he talked about a time, I think it was in the late 80s, where he went bankrupt before X Factor, before Popstar, Survivals, all of those ones that he did. He risked everything, went back bankrupt, lost everything. And it was only when he was at rock bottom that he had that oomph to go, I've got to get out of this.
That fear driven you
around.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, God, what an idiot. Like, I mean, that's amazing, but I'd hate to be in that position.
Yeah.
And it's so silly. Like, it's nothing like that. I'm not bankrupt. I'm like, fine, but I remember.
She has a home, everyone. She doesn't live on the street down the road.
But I remember, like, I've had a few times where my card's been declined for, like, an Asda shop, where literally 20 quid and like being in the queue as they're trying to pay and my card got declined because I'd literally run out of money and being like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, what am I? This is... and everyone like looking at you in the queue like, you can't afford your Asda shop.
Yeah.
Like, who are you? And it's that kind of like, okay, well, no, I remember that was... I think that was just before I got zero sponsored and just being like, okay, this is silly. I need to make this work.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's not business.
You see that, but that's
money.
Difference. Whereas if I was still in that Asda queue, I'd go, okay, this is silly. I need to get a job at Asda.
Yeah.
Like, move over, let me sit down. I need to start beeping these things because I need to take money now. But I think it's just an amazing mentality. And I think that's, without a doubt, the people who are going to have the most success in life are people like you who... can see, despite the fact that, you're in a really shitty situation at times, there's no two ways about it. You've got to make it work. Yeah, you've got to make it a success, which you will, and you already are. Okay, so I haven't even made it onto the second question, sorry.
Sorry. I told you I'd ramble.
No, I said
it's going to be a long one.
3 hours, 45 minutes.
You're still there, guys.
Okay, you're kind of answering this, I guess, as we go along, but so how have you found these last 2 years? Obviously, you've just mentioned there are some bad times, but is it how you expected it would be? Have you found it harder, easier?
I feel like it's such a loaded question, because the past 2 years have without a doubt been the hardest 2 years of my life. Fact. And I used to work hard. I used to think I was working hard. This is just taking it to a different level, because it's that mental exhaustion as well.
This is what we were saying, you don't stop thinking.
Yeah. It's just no matter what, and I'm getting a lot better at it now, but the first year I was just knackered, because my mind was just, I'd go the odd day that, like, even Christmas Day, I remember the first Christmas of just after I met you, December 2017, just not being able to, I hadn't started earning money yet, and I just felt this massive weight on my shoulders, like, what are you doing? It was just constantly there, like, you need to turn this into something. It's been 4 months now, V. And it just wasn't switching off.
I love that. I hate it, but it's so interesting that you remember on that Christmas day having that feeling. Were you kind of looking around thinking, look at everyone, just so jovial, and I
remember,
I need to.
Instagram, though. Yeah. I remember the run up to Christmas 2017, and everyone was getting excited. Yeah. Everyone was going for drinks. All my old work girls were going out and all of this. And I was just sat there like...
It feels like you've gone into a different universe.
That's it. It was just getting used to that whole world that is being self-employed. Because it really is. There's such an amazing community in there. Mm. But it's like, once you're in it and you're used to it, it gets so much easier. Yeah. But there's definitely that shift that you have to go through. And it's not easy.
Laura, struggled so much with it. It was like she'd gone into mourning. It was a really weird feeling.
I think it's because you just wear, the corporate world. I wore that with that old job I was so proud of. And it's an identity. Yes. And it's safe. And it's, if someone asked what my job was, I was like, oh, I do this. And it's just so easy.
And you're like, ask me what I do.
It's like, oh, go for it. Whereas you kind of... that if people then say, oh, what do you do now? Oh, you're running a business. And it's like, what is that business? And you're kind of like, oh, well, I kind of, So I think in so many ways it's been the biggest challenge ever. But ultimately, I cannot explain how proud I am of it. And it's like the biggest, even now, it's nowhere near where I want it to be. And I know, it's a really weird, I feel a bit in limbo at the moment with it. But I'm so invested in it. That it's like I don't have the option to walk away from it.
There is no option. Yeah.
I'm in this, and I literally love it. Yeah. It's like a little baby.
I can see how it's a loaded question, because the obvious answer is it's ridiculously hard.
Yeah.
But just because it's been ridiculously hard doesn't mean that you aren't 100 times happier despite the lows. Yeah,
that's it. It's something. It's just part of, it sounds so cheesy, but part of me now.
We say that, it's my little baby.
Yeah, definitely.
And when you suddenly think about not having it, it's a terrifying thought.
No way.
How would that even, can't imagine it.
So, so true. So yeah, it's just, and was it what I expected? I think what I didn't expect, I knew that it was going to be hard. That's why I launched it. I didn't expect, I think you meet people, I've interviewed women that I look at and admire, and I think, God, they're nailing it. They're absolutely smashing it. And you meet them, and they're just getting started still.
Yeah.
They're 4 or 5 years in, but they've hit their original goals.
Yeah.
And they're onto bigger and better ones.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I didn't appreciate the fact that it just boils down to that game of resilience, and you're constantly going. And it's kind of making sure that you do stop and take check of what you've achieved. But I think that I completely underestimated the fact that you either make the business work or it fails, and making it work is a long term
game. How I feel like I'm doing is I'm modestly making it work.
please elaborate.
I don't think I've made it work in a way we want to make it work, but I haven't failed. In between.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess that's a limbo, isn't it?
I think that's exactly it. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
It's a funny feeling. But it's not but then again, I just think when you don't have a plan for something, yeah. it is that kind of pivot.
Do you have a business manager or anyone or any strategy, long-term?
Yeah, I know what my long-term... I'm trying to raise investment at the moment for a platform that will basically become... Without going into too much detail,
it's a brilliant idea.
Thanks. That will become the main business for She Can, She Did.
Yeah.
And then the events and the podcast will just bolster that as yes. like additional, keep that face-to-face thing. It will keep the kind of like content, all of that substance. But in terms of like the business and that kind of going to work and what my day-to-day looks like,
that would be it.
That will be it.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like I'm in limbo, because it's just, I'm so...
2020.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I think this leads on to, have you experienced, I mean, we've kind of touched upon this, have there been certain points where you can actually define, not just a general feeling of like, at times I felt like I was failing, but have there been times perhaps that when you're trying to raise this investment that you feel like you failed in terms of She Can, She Did?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's so weird with that failure thing. It's, to me, it's so short term, that temporary feeling. It's like for a couple of days, you're like,
That's what I was going to say. When I say failure, it doesn't mean the end, but it was something that you, along the way, you set your hopes at something and you don't achieve.
Yeah, so like there's two points that I really remember. Before the launch of the Midweek Mingles, I was trying to get a much bigger She Can, She Did live, like big old conference off the ground. And I remember, literally, it's just so pathetic. I remember printing off, I made a little sponsorship pack, on Word, and I put it in a little plastic folder. And I lined up meetings with a few big management software companies, HSBC and one other, I can't remember. And I remember with HSBC, they were so supportive. They were like, this is 4 or 5 months in.
Wow.
So it was just the interviews. And they were like, let's talk. And I got the train up to Birmingham and I met with their head of like small businesses and I pitched this big event. And I'd kind of thought, God, if I get this meeting, they're going to go for this.
Yeah, because
I used to be a conference producer, so I'll be able to do this.
When they meet me, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. And it was just, she basically was so lovely. She, I talked about the different ideas for this big event and she was nodding the whole time, blah, blah, blah. And then we got onto like financials and she kind of like looked at me and she just said, I'm going to be really honest. No, you haven't got one bum on the seat yet.
Yeah.
You need to prove that you can get that first.
Which the Mingles are doing.
And then we can talk. And it was that kind of like, shit. It's not going to be easy. And you have to start small and prove yourself. And it's kind of like, why didn't I? Like, of course that's what happened. But to me, starting small was...
That conference event
to me was like, do one big conference and then you can do 2 big conferences. Yeah. And it's like, no, you need to rein it in. And that's where the Mingles came from. But that's the byproduct of that meeting going badly.
It wasn't a failure.
Yeah.
It was, it was a reroute, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, if I want to get the big conference, I need to see the Mingles.
Yeah, definitely. But I just remember getting the train home being just so, because she was so to the point. Like the other two companies I've met, said no 2 weeks later in an email.
Softer.
Whereas, that was very much no. Prove
then
yourself.
Then and there,
Like, love what you're doing, but no. okay. But then, that's exactly it. And then I kind of went back to the drawing board, was like, okay, how am I going to do this? Did value exchanges with everything from the venue space, the marketing around it, everything, the gin, all of it was on value exchanges to get the first event off the ground. Made, I think, about £700 in tickets because I charged like barely anything, but it sold out and then went from there. And then the minute you had a few, it was like, okay. And then the other big failure was obviously this idea for She Can, She Did, the long-term one, that popped into my head in June of last year, 2018. Then I got a meeting with a VC fund on my birthday last year on the just sod's law. That was the only one that they could take. So that was my 26th birthday. Went and like it was like office hours, so it wasn't a proper pitch, but it was if they liked you, they'd take you in. That was a no. Then I kind of off chance one of my mum's patients introduced me to people that basically ended up offering to invest in this thing. And that was about 6 weeks of going from having this idea to suddenly getting NDAs signed and doing all the kind of due diligence around investment and having these big software development chats. And it just took me into this different world.
Yeah, completely different world.
This is getting close. Like, yeah. And then the offer was there. But ultimately, they wanted way too high a stake in the business. And it's that gut instinct of, oh my God, I'm so close, but that doesn't feel right.
That doesn't feel like failure to me, though. That feels like, because I think so many people would think, okay, well, fine. Okay, just say yes, because it's the only one I've had and I just want to get going with it. To actually say no and walk away knowing you're going to have to potentially start all over again is amazing.
Yeah, it's so weird because it was, I thought though, because we'd come so far, even though that 6 weeks doesn't sound like a lot of time, we'd had so many meetings. Yeah. They'd come to mine out in the sticks. I'd gone into London back and forth loads. And it was literally just that percentage. And I really genuinely thought that we'd just negotiate that and it would come down. Mm. But it was a case of no.
But I didn't realise it's a hard world, like a business
world. Yeah, definitely. And that's it. And the minute it was that kind of this or nothing, it was such an easy thing for me to walk away from because it really didn't feel right. Yeah. But I just remember, honestly, like putting the phone down to the CEO of the company that offered to invest and just bawled my eyes. I literally didn't stop crying with my mum. Because I was just so, like...
And you dreamed. And you get 6 weeks of, you know...
It was just... Yeah. But then it's hard because even now I haven't got the investment yet. But they actually came back and they're probably going to... I probably pay them to build it once I have the investment.
Right. So you've got
they're
that.
Still, like... They're such a great, great guys. It just... Yeah, it's just so weird. It's weird how you connect the dots in hindsight. It's so strange.
It's a funny little journey, isn't it? And you think, if you met with so-and-so, they led you to that, that helped you out with that and opened that door.
And that's why it's never failed. Like, it's such a weird question.
So I guess when I say, like, how do you deal with failure and has it helped you have you improved at accepting it?
Yeah.
I guess we're not really talking about failure and that anything has failed. It's just another bump in the road and you're continuing on down a different route, aren't you?
It's like what we were saying before the mics go on. I think you kind of, there's always going to be, like, no one gets it easy. Like, I think, have you seen
But that again, it's that social media thing that people make you think it looks so easy.
Yeah, but I just see, if a feed looks too perfect, I just think, no, that's
cool. You know, someone can say on Twitter, help me get to a million, and then overnight, look, you're a million.
Oh, God, it's so easy. The amount of fundraising stories I've heard, and I'm like, are you kidding me? How?
Yeah.
Like, why would you invest in that? Like,
look at me.
Yeah, come on. Over here, you guys. But no, I do think, like, have you seen that meme thing?
Oh,
well, the grumpy graph. Road. Yeah, bumpy road. Yeah, that is just, that's exactly it. So you could be having the worst day on the job, but it boils down to resilience again and knowing, trusting yourself to make it work so that in a week or 2 weeks you're back at the top again. And it's just kind of getting used to that. Up and down.
Yeah, and I think you also start to realise what kind of, I think, often can keep me going is when we run our own business, when you work day to day, I say to James, what are you looking forward to this week? What are you hoping will happen this week? He'll say, I hope that I get away earlier. And, you know, little things like that, because the week is set in stone. And and for us, you never really know what's going to happen, what's going to come in your inbox and can turn your whole life upside down in a moment, in a positive way.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think it's like almost a carrot that keeps you going.
Yeah, so, so true. Even silly things like yesterday, like it's been a kind of, I had a roadshow in last week, so it's like I always knew that it was going to be quiet this week. But yesterday I had this email through from BBC.
What?
And like a random invitation to this women's BBC 100 women's conference next Thursday, and the fact that they've invited me to go and watch these incredible women
speak. I can't believe this.
And I'm like, how does the BBC reached out to She Can She Did? Like, that's just mental to me.
You have no idea when you go there next
like
week
who
you're gonna meet,
even just listening to
you're going.
And it's just like they're the little things, like that's not money related
exactly,
but that to me means everything.
I was saying this to Laura, like it's the tomorrow an interview comes out with Cosmo because it's World Mental Health Day. We've done a few things with them before, but we've done another one with them. And I say to James, I have not obviously been paid by this, but those little things mean so much that you just keep going because you're like, it just feels like you've been paid in something else.
Yeah, but it's like, I think it's just like, you know, it's that recognition that like what you're doing is of value.
Oh, someone's aware of
me. Yeah.
Someone of a vague importance.
But that's so true though, because when you do work for yourself, you are like tucked away.
Yeah.
You know, I work from my parents' house to escape my flat every day, so I feel like I'm going to work.
Which is so important.
But, oh my God, massively. But like, ultimately, they're in the middle of nowhere, and it's so nice knowing that like, even though you're working from I think you can get so caught up with just you and your laptop that it's like, oh no, people are
finding you online,
which
I guess is the good side of social media, isn't it? Like back in the day, if you were running your own business now, I mean, like, how would anyone know of us find us? So although social media is a double-edged sword, isn't it, and that it opens up so many opportunities.
I can't
wait to hear about that BBC conference.
I'll get the thing.
See what we'll move on to now. So we've talked about how do you deal with failure and how have you improved at accepting failure. And we've also, I guess, touched upon the fact that although there's been failures, they haven't led to success, but like they have actually, because being turned down by HSBC for the big conference has actually led to the Mingles, which are a huge success. And I think you've tapped into something that I think must have been missing for women in terms of networking and inspiring women who want to run their own business. So without a doubt, HSBC have, you know, led, their rejection has sort of led on to something so positive for you.
I think
you've already given some examples of that. So what advice would you give to someone thinking of launching their own business? I bet you are. I mean, you must be asked this all the time, so...
So I always say, because I ask that question, and I my pet hate is when everyone just answers with just go for it.
No.
Because it's just, it's so subjective, and it's so easy to just say that. I do think there is something about throwing yourself in at the deep end, though. Yes. I really do. Like, no one is ever ready. I think when you overplan, what was it? Analysis paralysis. That was a term someone used.
I love that.
And it's just so true.
Analysis paralysis.
If you overthink it and overcomplicate it, it can be so daunting.
Yeah.
And I do think that, yes, probably the way I started She Can, She Did definitely isn't for everyone, because it 100% was, in hindsight, not the best. But you make it work.
Yeah.
And I do think when your pride is on the line like that, you don't be the girl that says you're going to do something and doesn't. I think no one wants to be that person.
I think it says a lot about your character, though, because it was your pride, you know, that feeling of like, you don't want people to think you've told these people you're going to do something, you're going to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And I think that what stops a lot of people from launching a business, though, is also caring about what people think.
Yes.
So mine, it's weird. I cared about what people thought if I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of people think they care about what...
If they did do it.
And they tried to do it and failed. And I think that to that, I say, because I think that holds so many people back, honest to God, just grit your teeth, zone that out.
Yeah.
And just, you'll never please everyone. And you'll notice it. I always think just you'll notice who your proper friends are.
I was saying this in the failures that I felt like I failed to see maintain much of my friendships in the way that I would have wanted to this year. But, oh my God, it shows you the ones who have your back they're not complaining that you can't meet them or that you're away again.
Yeah.
They get it and they're your cheerleaders.
Yeah, 100%. And I just think look after those people, though, because I think it's a weird one when you launch a business. I think it's so easy to kind of get wrapped up in you and your laptop and the fact that, you know, you're launching this brand and everyone but it's like, you also need to remember that they have their own life that you need to care about as well. Yeah. So it's that bit. But I do think it's the reality, and the advice would be, if you are caring about what people think... My mind's gone blank, Claire. I had a point.
Oh, about if you cared about what people think in terms of launching a business.
There's always going to be people that want it to fail.
Yeah.
They don't want you to win.
Oh,
and I think that to honestly just use that as fire in your belly.
I find it nothing more pleasing than putting something out where I know someone who has mocked what we do is going to see that success. Yeah. It's just like the best feeling. Yeah.
But that's it though. I think that like that's just a reality. There's always going to be people watching, and not everyone's going to want it to go well.
No.
So just suck it up. If you care, if you trust yourself enough to make it work, you will.
And ultimately, if you care about it, it makes you happy. I know it's a really obvious thing to say, then you really can't let someone else's opinion stand in the way of your day-to-day happiness.
Yeah, definitely.
You know.
It's so, so true. And the sooner you start, the sooner you get those shitty first few months over with, and then you're kind of settled in and you're good.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
If someone said, okay, you now need to go back again to day dot. Mm. Would you do it all over again?
It's so weird because this investment thing, because it is such a different business, I feel like I'm launching a business
again,
with this. And it's weird. I would not, because I've had this chat with someone really recently. Yes, because like I said, I'm so proud of it.
Yeah.
So if I had to, if someone had a gun to my head,
begrudgingly go, okay, fine.
Like, sure, but no.
No. But at the same time, I think it's so easy now. You can reflect back on like a horrible year, but when you're living it, although it's hard at the time, you don't have that whole accumulation of a feeling of a year. So you, day to day, you are just, you know, there's little highs and there's little lows.
Mm.
So I mean,
and the trick is, I think, is to just every day, like, well, there's in the time that you're set to working, is to just do those little baby steps, even if it is just emailing someone or responding to someone or reaching out and asking someone to design your logo.
Yeah.
Every single one of those steps, it snowballs and they all add up to something.
Yeah.
So it's just before you know it, you're 2 years in and you've got something. Exactly.
I was going to say, it's before you know it, you know, it's something, but it's quite an overwhelming feeling to think, would you go back to, I don't know if I would.
Yeah.
But then I did it quite differently to you in that I edged out slowly, but I still think I left. I could have stayed in work probably happily for another year.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you learn things differently, don't you?
Yeah, but like you make it.
How are you meant to know? Yeah,
exactly. There's always the what if thing. But like, I think once you're in it and it's like game on, let's go.
Yeah. Okay, final question then. What are your hopes and plans? I mean, you've touched upon this business that you're looking for investment, a platform idea for Shikanchi did. But what are your hopes and plans over the next year for your business?
100% to launch that. I'll need a team for that. It's only a small team. But ultimately, like, just provide self-employed women with more than I'm currently providing. And just basically, honestly, I feel like when that launches, I'll be... It's weird because it's like I'm doing the classic. When I get to that point, then I'll feel okay.
Oh, but you know full
well that the minute that happens, that will then be like, okay, now it's kind of,
that is me all over. Yeah. When that's out the way, I'll feel happy.
I'll be good then.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just that, I just really want that so badly.
And I've got no doubt that you will get that within the next year.
I mean,
you've been through... I think a process which has taught you so much about the investment side of things. You've been through it once. There's no reason why you can't go through it again.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to, you know, another 6 or 7 months down the line now with the most, well, they're sold out, aren't they? Most of your mingles. Mm. So I think you're going to be fine.
Thank you. What's your plans for the next year?
The tours, the podcast. I think we've spoken about this quite a lot. In that we never set out to have a business. And we never set out to be that term influencers. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going through a painful process in which, although we are hugely appreciative to be able to make money through brand work, and some of it we absolutely enjoy, ultimately our business aims is not to promote products on Instagram. Yeah. But if you were to ask what our dream aim would be, it would be to have all of our tours sponsored but subsidised so much that women who probably couldn't afford to go away are able to travel. And that would be probably my dream goal next
year. I feel like
we
should make a deal.
I know.
You do that and I'll get an investment.
And then you can come on one of my tours.
I feel like we should shake. It's a deal.
You can come on and
hold each other accountable.
But that would be... it's not, it's like, I don't want to offend anyone. It's no way offensive to the fact that we have this little business online, but we want something. If Instagram was to go tomorrow, that's part of your business gone. And when you're 33 and, yeah, you want to run a business, I don't want to depend on that alone. Yeah, and I just want to do something with more value, probably. So to have the tour sponsored and the tour places subsidised and the podcast sponsored probably would be our ends for next year. But it's definitely a painful growth period, I feel, at the moment. I don't know if it's growing, actually. It's just a painful period. But we'll see.
I feel like it, yeah, it will.
100%. So when are your next mingles? Where are they in the country? And what can people do? Where do they go to buy a ticket?
So, fingers crossed, it'll be December, the jingles. So
jingles.
I think it'll be the midweek jingle in London. Will be early December. And then I think I'll do another Milton Keynes one, but that'll be a jingle, and maybe Manchester. But also to be
December
ones, because I'm back and forth.
And how do people find out about them? They follow She Can She Did on Instagram.
Yeah, so I release everything on Instagram or the website.
So
shecanshedid.com.
Thank you so much for standing
for
here.
Me
no, I love it.
I just went to town there.
I was just thinking, I wonder if Laura's going to listen back to this. But that's just really weird. I'm listening to my own podcast without her on. But thank you for filling in, Laura. And it makes me, I don't know, I love talking to you because it just makes me feel like you inspire me to like grit my teeth and carry on, because I'm such a panicker, but I feel like you always calm me down.
Oh, thanks, Claire.
That's okay. Thank you for listening. This will go out tomorrow for World Mental Health Day, so it'll be a bonus podcast for tomorrow. And then Laura and I will be back when she's back from Seattle the week after next. And if you do enjoy our podcasts, we would be so appreciative if you could give us a little review on whatever platform you listen to us on. So thank you for listening. Bye. 1, 2, 3, 4.